Hare Krishna. So, before I start, I wanted to thank all the devotees for giving me the opportunity to speak on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very beneficial for myself, because this is what helps us to think about Krishna, and as we understand, this is the purpose of Krishna consciousness, to think about Krishna. And we are going to read from Canto 6, chapter 16. Today we have three texts, right? 12, 13, and 14. Which one is on the board? 14 is on the board, okay. So we will, I'll just read the Sanskrit and translation of the text 12 and 13, and then we can chant text 14 responsibly. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the chapter is entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord. Shri Badaraya Niruvacha Itad Udirya Gato Jiva Yatayas Tasya Tetada Vismita Mumuchi Shokam Chitvatma Sneha Shinkalam. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the conditioned soul, in the form of Maharaj Chitraketu's son, had spoken in this way and then left, Chitraketu and the other relatives of the dead son were all astonished. Thus they cut off the shackles of their affection, which was due to their relationship with him, and gave up their lamentation. Text 13. Nirityagya tayogyater deham krito chita kriya tatyajur dustyajam sneham shokamoha vayartidam. After the relatives had discharged their duties by performing the proper funeral ceremonies and burning the dead child's body, they gave up their affection that leads to illusion, lamentation, fear, and pain. Such affection is undoubtedly difficult to give up, but they gave it up very easily. And so, text 14, which is on the board, please let's chant it responsibly. Balagnya briditas tatra. Balagnya briditas tatra. Balahatya hata prabha. Balahatya hata prabha. Balahatya bratam cherur. Balahatya vratam cherur Brahmanarya nirupitam. Brahmanarya nirupitam. Yamunayam maharajam. Yamunayam maharajam. Smarantya dvijabhashitam. Smarantya dvijabhashitam. Balagnya vriditas tatra. Balahatya hata prabha. Balahatya vratam cherur. Brahmanarya nirupitam. Yamunayam maharaja. smarancha dvija bhasitam. Please. Balagnya vidritastatya. Balahatya hata brahma. Balahatya vratam charu. Ramanayan hirupitam. Yamanayam maharaja. Balagnya briditam tatra. Balahatya hata brahma. Balahatya vratam charu. Manaya nirupitam. Yamunayam maharaja. Smarantya dvijabhasitam. Valagnya vrititas tatra. Avalahatya hata brabaha. Avalahatya vritam cherun. Manayam maharaja. Arantya dvijabhasitam. Avancha vriditas tatra. Valahacha hata brahma. Valahacha hata brahma. Anirupitam. Yamunaya. Yadvija bhashitam. Ladies, please. Balagnya vriditas tatra. Balahatya hata brahma. Balahatya vratam charu. Brahmanayan nirupitam. Yamunayam maharaja. Smarancha dvijabhasitam. Anyone else? Please repeat synonyms. Balagnya, the killers of the child. Briditaha, being very much ashamed. Tatra, there. Balahatya, because of killing the child. Hata, having lost. Brahmaha, all body luster. Balahatya vratam, the atonement for killing the child. Charuhu, executed. Brahmanai, by the priests. Yat, which. Nirupitam, described. Yamunayam, at the river Yamuna. Maharaja, O King Parikshit. Smarantyaha, remembering. Dvija bhashitam, the statement given by the Brahmana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Queen Krita Beauty's co-wives, who had poisoned the child, were very much ashamed, and they lost all their bodily luster. While lamenting, O King, they remembered the instructions of Angira and gave up their ambition to bear children. Following the directions of the Brahmanas, they went to the bank of the Yamuna, where they bathed and atoned for their sinful activities. Purport. In this verse, the word Balahatya Hatabrabaha is to be particularly noted. The practice of killing children has existed in human society for a long time, since time immemorial. But in the days of yore, it was very rarely performed. At the present moment, however, in this age of Kali, abortion, killing of the child within the womb, has become very common, and sometimes a child is even killed after birth. If a woman performs such an abominable act, she gradually loses all her bodily luster. Balahatyahatabrabaha. It is also to be noted that the ladies who had committed this sinful act of administering poison to the child were very much ashamed, and according to the directions of the Brahmanas, they had to undergo atonement for killing the child. Any woman who has ever performed such an infamous sinful act must atone for it, but no one now is doing that. Under the circumstances, the woman responsible must suffer in this life and the next. Those who are sincere souls, after hearing this incident, should refrain from such child killing and should atone for their sinful activities by taking to Krishna consciousness very seriously. If one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offenses, all of one's sinful actions are surely atoned for immediately, but one should not commit such deeds again, for that is an offense. I'll just read the translations of all the three texts once again. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the conditioned soul, Jiva, in the form of Maharaj Chitraketu's son, had spoken in this way and then left, Chitraketu and the other relatives of the dead son were all astonished. Thus they cut off the shackles of their affection, which was due to their relationship with him, and gave up their lamentation. After the relatives had discharged their duties by performing the proper funeral ceremonies and burning the dead child's body, they gave up the affection that leads to illusion, lamentation, fear, and pain. Such affection is undoubtedly difficult to give up, but they gave it up very easily. Queen Krita Duti's co-wives who had poisoned the child were very much ashamed, and they lost all their bodily luster. While lamenting, O king, they remembered the instructions of Angira and gave up their ambition to bear children. Following the directions of the Brahmanas, they went to the bank of Yamuna, where they bathed and atoned for their sinful activities. So, this is very amazing part of Srimad Bhagavatam. As we mentioned sometime earlier, this is actually the unique feature of Bhagavatam, which differs it from every single Vedic scripture you can think of, especially Puranas, because it locked actually. Can you sort it out? Help. Thank you. Because this is the only scripture which describes the pastime of Britrasura. And of course, King Chitraketu is Britrasura in his previous life. And in fact, this is very unique and very important part of Srimad Bhagavatam, because as we understand, Bhagavatam is a pure bhakti scripture, which helps us to understand what Krishna consciousness really is and how the Lord is so merciful that one can be uplifted from the most degraded and most fallen position, as number of previous speakers mentioned. Even the king who had 10 million wives and was trying to enjoy so much sense gratification with them, so he was fully immersed into all types of sense gratification, sex life, both gross and subtle. And he was uplifted by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. first Angira Muni came and then Narada Muni joined the team. And then he became such a great Vaishnava that in 1 week, it says that, further it is explained that he was just chanting mantra in 1 week, and in 1 week he could have the Lord's direct audience, darshan. So this was amazing. And after that, he commits a serious blunder, Vaishnava aparad. He offends Lord Shiva, and he gets cursed by Parvati, and then he turns into demon. But in that demon's body, he still remembers the Lord, and being killed by Indra, he goes directly back to Godhead. So this is very amazing display of the power of bhakti, that nothing can stop devotional service. Neither attachments nor any reverses in one's life. And therefore, by hearing these descriptions, we can be very happy, because we might also face the same circumstances. We might face difficulties caused by attachments, and we might also have external troubles, external reverses in our lives, and these descriptions will rest us assured that the Lord and the Vaishnavas, once we started the process of devotional service, the Lord and the Vaishnavas will always take care of us in all respects. And so it's actually recommended for speakers, especially taking into consideration that we have very short time, that we just speak on the main point, which is connected to this verse. Of course, there are many points brought up in here, but the main point is an advancement, spiritual advancement, due to the power of association with great Vaishnavas and service of the Lord, which in fact destroys all types of conditioning. Power of bhakti is so great that it destroys all obstacles on the path very quickly. And this specific verse, which explains that fact, because, especially the last verse was speaking about the atonement, how everyone was regretful of their activity, and they were atoning for all their sins, especially the co-wives of Krita Dyuti. They were atoning for the sin of killing the child, which Srila Prabhupada likens to abortion in modern days. And of course, it's a very grievous sin to kill a child. But what Padma Purana states, that every single type of conditioning, every single level of sin is destroyed by the power of bhakti. And this is very, very important verse, which Srila Prabhupada quoted many times. And it actually explains how bhakti can destroy all the results of sinful activities, all the material conditioning. I'm wondering how many of us are interested in overcoming all the obstacles and destroying all the results of our previous sinful conditioning. Everybody, that's good. So we need to very carefully listen and contemplate on these words, because it actually gives out the secret, which is very, very important for all of us to understand and apply in our life. And so the verse says, Aprarabdham palam papam, kutam bijam palon mukham, kraimenaiva apraliyata vishnu bhaktir ratatmana. So it says that all types of the results of sinful activities, which are aprarabdham, aprarabdha means unmanifest, sinful reaction. Palam means manifest sinful reaction in the form of the fruit, fruit of the sin. Kutam, sinful inclinations. Bijam, sinful thoughts, which are compared to a seed in one's mind. And palon mukham means the sin which is almost ready to bear a fruit. And, you know, the example could be a criminal sentenced to death. And so his head is already lying on a chopping block. So that's the kind of circumstances when the sinful activities are almost, you know, the fruit is already ripened and ready to, you know, come down. And so, yeah, very sad. So the results of our sinful activities, you know, our sinful activities result in suffering, with the attempts to enjoy in this material world. And then this verse says, Kraimenaiva praliyata, step by step, one after another, all these results of sin are praliyata. Pralaya or pralaya, many of you are familiar with this word, means devastation or destruction. So all these results of sin are wiped out, one after another. Now, the most important, how it is happening. One thing we know, Vishnu Bhakti Ratatmanan, we know that it's happening by Vishnu Bhakti, by, or Krishna Bhakti, as we call it, same thing. But is it only by Vishnu Bhakti? Is it only by Krishna Bhakti? No. This Vishnu Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti, in order to give the result of destroying the, everything connected to our sinful conditioning, has to have very special feature. And the last word of the verse describes that very special feature. Rata Atmanan. And Srila Prabhupada translates the word as one who enjoys in devotional service. So this is very important for us. And this is very much in line with what Bhagavad Gita describes in the second chapter. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtvani vartate. That one may restrain oneself from sense gratification, but it's a difficult job. One has to struggle because the taste for sense gratification still remains. But once one develops the higher taste, then the lower taste will be gone forever. And so this is why it says, one who is enjoying in Krishna consciousness, one who is feeling the happiness of devotional service, this person, one who has this kind of consciousness, it's not by chance that Srila Prabhupada defined the movement as Krishna consciousness. He never named it church of such and such or temple of this and that or mosque or whatever. Because these are just external religious features. And Krishna consciousness, as we know very well, is way above any religion, way above any external forms and names. And so therefore, he chose the name International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because consciousness is everything what matters. We can see, even in this pastime, in this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vritrasura is a demon externally, but he has Krishna consciousness. He's detached, and he's thinking about Krishna. And Indra, supposed to be a devotee, but he is attached. And therefore, Vritrasura goes back to Godhead. Indra continues existing in the material world. So this is a very vivid example of how consciousness matters. And therefore, it's not so much what is happening to us externally. It's very much where our consciousness is. I heard one joke that it's better to lie on a bed and think of Bhagavatam than sit on Bhagavatam class and think of a bed. Of course, it doesn't mean that we have to all lie in bed and think of Bhagavatam class. But it's just an example to, you know, highlight the importance of consciousness rather than external show we perform. And yeah, what does Krishna consciousness means? Ananda mayobhyasat, bliss and joy. And why does it create such an effect? Why Krishna consciousness creates such an effect? For a very simple reason, because it puts us in touch with Krishna, who is the source of all bliss. Just if we look at Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Radha, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Shishi Gaur Nitai, they all smile very nicely and they feel so happy. For example, Gaur Nitai, they're raising their hands saying, cheer up, cheer, don't feel upset or morose, everything is fine. We're going in that direction. And Jagannath, he's stretching his hands forward and he has big smile on his face while he has his hands put forward, because he's ready to embrace everybody and give his mercy. And he doesn't even consider who are the people, whether they are qualified or not, because he's completely intoxicated by hearing about his own pastimes. This is Krishna. And of course, Rukmini Dwarakadish, they smile so nicely. They're blissful, they're happy. And we are very fortunate to have Krishna in our lives, because he is the most amazing personality. Of course, many people, many religious people, they know God as great. But Vaishnavas are most fortunate. Why? Because they know God as the sweetest of all the personalities. That God is not just great, but he's very, very sweet. And while reading, I mean, he has so many great features: all wealth, all power, all knowledge, all beauty, all fame. He has it all. But the most amazing quality of Krishna is that he is detached. Even though he has everything, but he is completely detached from it all. And he is ready to share it with everybody without keeping anything behind. Krishna is so detached, he is even ready to give a position, his own position as the Supreme Lord, to anyone who wants it. And there are so many candidates, right? This whole material world is full of candidates. We want this position. And it's not that Krishna is holding it back and doesn't want to give it. No, he gives it freely. What is the difficulty? People are not qualified. Like in Krishna book, we find the description of one guy whose name was Paundraka. And he was so jealous of Krishna that, you know, everybody is calling Krishna the Supreme Lord, that, and he really wanted that. He, and the guy, I suppose he was practicing, that was probably the first case of practicing affirmations. So he convinced himself that he is the Supreme Lord. To such an extent that he fully believed it. He even fixed two artificial hands to his body, and he was holding like four divine symbols, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, and he challenged Krishna. He came forward and he said, Krishna, let's fight. He said, Krishna, you are pretending to be the Supreme Lord, but I am the real Lord, look. And, you know, I have four hands, you have two hands, so you're inferior to me. I have two hands more than you. And so you should stop pretending to be the Supreme, claiming that you are the Supreme Lord. And you should give up all your divine symbols in my favor. And when Krishna saw this, you know, jerk with two plastic hands, or I don't know what kind of, you know, maybe bamboo hands or whatever, attached to his body, you know, being really convinced that he is the Supreme Lord, that he just couldn't stop laughing. You know, for Krishna it was such a joke. And Krishna, you know, after he stopped laughing, you know, he had a really good fun. And then after he stopped laughing, he said, I don't mind at all. You want my divine symbols? Here, catch it. This is the first one, Sudarshana. And so Sudarshana went towards Paundraka, Vasudev, quote unquote, and then he tried to catch, I mean, he tried his best, but, you know, who can hold Sudarshana Chakra? And so this Sudarshana Chakra chopped off his hands, real hands, and he said as well. But the Lord was so merciful to him that because he meditated upon him, even though in such a challenging way, after, you know, he went to the spiritual world and he attained four-handed form, very similar to the Supreme Lord. So his desire was fulfilled. And the Lord is so merciful. And actually, Jiva Goswami describes in his Sandarbhas that, why do we have to surrender to Krishna? This is a very good question, right? Why do we have to surrender to Krishna? And so Jiva Goswami gives number of reasons. And of course, the first and foremost reason is that he is the Supreme Lord anyway. We don't have a choice. We are under him, whether we want it or not. And then there are other reasons. But then the topmost reason Jiva Goswami gives, because the Lord is so merciful. There is no one more merciful than the Supreme Lord. And how merciful is the Supreme Lord? He quotes the passage from the verse from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Aho bhakiyam stanakalakutam jikamsaya paye apyasatvi lephegati udrichita tatonyam kambadailum sharanam brajema. This is the statement in lamentation made by Uddhava. And he says, where will I find the master who is more merciful than he, who gave the position similar to the position of his own mother, position of his eternal nurse, to the demoness who came to kill him with the poison smeared on her breast. That was Putana. So Krishna is so amazingly merciful. Krishna is so kind. He is even kind to those who are trying to kill him, to the most vicious. And before that, she killed so many babies. Of course, Krishna punished her a little bit, was kicking her with his feet before and killed her, but he gave her that position. He purified her and he gave her so much mercy. And so therefore, Krishna is so merciful, and this is why devotees are happy. No matter what's happening in my life, no matter whether I'm advanced or not, no matter whether I'm in a good position or not, but I have Krishna, and Krishna is so kind, and I should be happy. I was thinking that we cannot afford to look morose, because we should not do the injustice to those people who are not devotees by scaring them off from Krishna consciousness with our sad faces. And I remember one incident of Govinda Maharaj. He was giving class, and one disciple, he was sitting right in front of him, and he looked very morose. And he actually looked down. He was not looking at Maharaj. He was thinking about some problems in his life. And then Maharaj, he took his cane. You know, he always was walking with a cane. He took his cane and he actually hit this disciple over the head with a cane quite hard. And then the disciple, he kind of looked at his guru. And Gaur Govinda Maharaj smiled and says, he said, why are you looking so morose? What happened to you? Like that. So that was a very interesting example. And but yeah, why should we feel morose? It's actually not recommended at all. There is a very important statement in Nectar of Devotion made by Srila Prabhupada. This is chapter 7 for the reference, if anyone wants to look it up later. And part is straightforwardness in ordinary dealings and equilibrium in loss and gain. So Srila Prabhupada says, there is a statement in the Padma Purana. Persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness should never be disturbed by some material gain or loss. Even if there is some material loss, one should not be perturbed, but should always think of Krishna within himself. Why? Because you think of Krishna, you will immediately feel happy. The purport is that every conditioned soul is always absorbed in thinking of materialistic activities. He has to free himself from such thoughts and transfer himself completely to Krishna consciousness. As we have already explained, the basic principle of Krishna consciousness is to always think of Krishna. One should not be disturbed in material loss, but rather should concentrate his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord. And then there is one more paragraph. A devotee should not be subjected to lamentation or illusion. There is the following statement in the Padma Purana. Within the heart of a person who is overpowered by lamentation or anger, there is no possibility of Krishna's being manifest. So this is very important to watch after our moods. So if we lament about anything except Krishna, or if we angry, if we feel negative, we actually shut down the possibility of Krishna manifesting in our hearts. And this is very important for us, because, you know, for our spiritual advancement, for overcoming the results of our sinful activities, purifying our hearts, as well as attracting people to Krishna consciousness. Preaching. If we feel happy, people naturally become attracted. Devotees in San Jose, they go out on Harinam to Palo Alto. And people, they make comments. I heard that they say, thank you very much, because, you know, your religion is so joyful and you dance and chant. And it's very much a contrast to the Christian, you know, like kind of fundamental group. And they come and they preach in a very heavy way, cursing people. And, you know, and they say, you know, you're such a change, guys. You know, please come more often. This is what we want. This is what people want. They want happiness coming from God. And this is what we have. We have Krishna. We have the happiest manifestation of the Supreme Lord. And I'll just finish with a very interesting quote I heard It's a song put together by one Christian group, and they attract tons of people. Why? Because they have the right attitude, they have the right mood. Instead of focusing on anything negative, they just focused on positive alternative. And this song actually explains that positive alternative. And so, of course, this song is addressing the Lord. Or let me live in a holy, holy way. And the first holy is W-H-O-L-L-Y, you know, completely holy way, not just partly or pretentiously holy, but in a real holy way. Or let me learn from all the ways I fail. That's an interesting one, right? Instead of lamenting in terms of our mistakes, why shouldn't we pray? Let me learn a good lesson. Or let me walk each day a little kinder. Let me develop some compassion. Or let me walk each day a little wiser. And so this song goes, or let me love in a holy, holy way. Or let me sing in a holy, holy way, etc., etc. So, and I thought this is very much in the mood of Krishna consciousness. And this is what is attracting people, and definitely we have the most important place in the world, New Dwarka, because Los Angeles is the cutting edge of, you know, whatever happening on the planet, Hollywood. And so the most important, the most influential people on the planet are living right here. And so if they come in touch with Krishna consciousness in any way, shape or form, they will promote it all over the world. And so by preaching here, we can actually turn the entire planet into Krishna consciousness in a very short time. If I would have any influence, you know, or if I would have any serious managerial influence, I would actually convince the leaders of our society to bring all the best men in here and focus on preaching in Los Angeles, but unfortunately very few people are concerned with the global scale Krishna consciousness. Many people are just absorbed in their local projects, but this is the global place and it's very wonderful to be here. And to see the amazing team of Prabhupada disciples working together very positively. And thank you very much for allowing me to speak and be here and have your wonderful association. Hare Krishna. And I'm sorry for a delay again. I hope you won't curse me. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shalabhra Upad ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.